What we're going to do, we're going to continue with where we were last week. How many of you were here last week? Okay, how many of you were not here last week? Where were you? I'm only joking. But you're here this week, so that's good. What we've been talking about, we're going to continue on the thought or the lesson about faithfulness, right? We were talking about faithfulness, and that is what? The blueprint for God's blessings and promotion, okay? So let's turn in our Bibles to our text. Turn in your Bible, if you have one, or you have your tablet. Turn to Proverbs chapter 28. Proverbs chapter 28. Amen. Proverbs chapter 28, and let's look at verse 20. Is everyone there? I'm going to be reading from the King James Version, okay? Okay, if you have another version, please read along with me. Can you hear me out there? Okay, because I'm not hearing myself too well back here, though. I don't want to shout into the mic and wake people up. I think it's the Holy Ghost, you know, that kind of stuff. Holy Ghost is not in a shout. Keep that in mind. The Holy Ghost is a person of the Godhead. He lives and moves in us. Okay, everyone got that? Now, sometimes when he lives and moves in some people, they shout, right? But the Holy Ghost, he lives in him. We live and move and have our being. Okay, everyone at Proverbs chapter 28, verse 20. It says, a faithful man shall do what? Abound with blessings. But he that maketh haste to be rich shall not be innocent, right? And also we looked last week. I just want to read one of the other translations, the Passion. God's Word. It says it this way. It says, a trustworthy person has many blessings, but anyone in a hurry to get rich will not escape punishment. So in other words, not only faithfulness, another word we can use for faithfulness is what? Trustworthy, right? A trustworthy person has many blessings. That same passage of Scripture in the Passion says it this way. It says, life's blessings drench the honest and faithful person. Notice what it said. What? Honest and faithful person. But punishment rains down upon the greedy and dishonest. So that's why we don't want to be greedy or dishonest. Amen? All right. Now, just a little bit of review. What we talked about last week, we talked about the fact that God doesn't look at talent or ability. He doesn't look at your educational background or your social status. He doesn't even look at your spiritual status. By that, I mean whether you're a layman in the church, whether you're in the ministry of helps in the church, or whether you're in part of leadership in the church, or whether you're even in the fivefold ministry gifts. God does not look at those things. You know what he looks at? He looks at faithfulness. Say that with me. Say, God looks at faithfulness. Okay, now also last week we talked about it. We looked in the Bible of some people that God considered faithful. Amen? We looked at last week about Moses. Remember it said that Moses was what? Faithful over the house of Israel, right? Then we looked at the Apostle Paul, right? The Apostle Paul said God counted him what? Faithful, calling him where? Into the ministry. So in other words, Paul coming into the ministry, God counted him to be what? Faithful. Now here's one I left out. But I think this is a good one. Abraham. The Bible talks about Abraham. It calls him faithful Abraham. Remember God said that to Abraham. He said, I know Abraham, that he will do what? Guide his household. He will train his household in the ways of God, right? So Abraham was faithful too. And then another person we looked at, and he's the epitome of faithfulness, is our Lord Jesus Christ, right? Amen? He's considered in Hebrews what? The faithful high priest, right? Now, last but not least, we looked at another group of people that the Bible calls faithful. Guess who that people are? Us, the church. Now, if you turn to Galatians, don't turn there, but just for if you're taking notes, in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, Paul talks about the fruit of the Spirit, right? But really what he's referring to is the fruit of your recreated spirit. So there's fruit in your spirit. And one of them is faith, right? When you see the word faith, it doesn't mean faith moving mountains. It doesn't mean faith that you can subdue kingdoms. Faith there means faithfulness. So say this with me. Say, in my recreated spirit, the capacity for faithfulness. There's other things too. I'm not teaching on the fruit of the Spirit, but I just want you to know, for illustration purposes, each and every one of us tonight have the capability by God to be faithful. Now, how many of us are faithful? Don't raise your hand. Okay? We're gonna continue in our lesson. Amen. Now, here's something that we also talked about last week as well. Remember, Jesus shared a parable, right? What was the parable he shared last week? The parable of what? The talents, right? Remember, there was three guys, right? And he said this ruler had given talents to these three guys, right? One had five, the other one had two, the other one had one, right? And he said, you know, tarry till I come. In other words, he left. So when the ruler left, the guys with the talent had to do something with it, right? So what did the guy with five talents do? What did he do when the master came back? He said what? He doubled his talents, right? He had five, so my math majors, five plus five is how many? So he had 10 talents when the master came, right? Then the other servant had how many? Two. What did he do with his? He doubled it, right? So when the master came, how many did he have? Four. But then the third person, right? That third guy, right? When the master came, how many did he have? How many he had when the master came back? One. He had one. Somebody's got to get some math there. He said none. But you're right. At the end, no, you're right. Because at the end, the master took even that one that he had. So you're right. That's my A student back there. Wave your hands. Let them see you. There you go. She's right. So anyway, but it was what the master said. The master called that one that sat on his talent, right? What did he call him? A wicked, unprofitable servant. Now, to the other ones, he said, you were faithful over little things. What was going to happen? He's going to make them ruler over what? Big things. So you see how the master, you see how Jesus was teaching the principle of the kingdom of God. This is a principle in the kingdom of God. As you are faithful with where you are right now, and as you take with what God has given you right now and do your best with it, right? When the master comes, he's going to reward you. He's going to call you a profitable servant, right? You are faithful over a few things. He's going to make you what? Ruler over all. And last week, what we found out was, we found this out, and I found it out myself as well as I was teaching. The one that had the five talents and made it 10, the one that had the two and made it four, they both got the same equal amount of inheritance. So it makes no difference what you're doing. I want to bring it back to the church. See, some of us think that the biggest job to get in the pulpit, everybody biting at the chop, they want to get in the pulpit and they want to preach, right? So they think that's the biggest job in the kingdom of God. But the truth of the matter is this, whatever God told you to do, whatever he assigned you to do, be found what? Faithful, because your reward comes from there, not from here. And I've been in this church about what? How long we been here now? What, 30 years now? 30 years, right? We've been here about 30 years. Over 30 years. Well, she said over 30 years. You see people come, and I've seen people go. And I'm going to tell you right now, when I first got here, the number one thing everybody wanted to do, and they thought you arrived, if you got in that pulpit. Because if you got in that pulpit, you're Pastor Clinton. And if you're a female, you're Pastor Sarah. And now you're going to play the role, right? But the truth of the matter is, God does not look at that. What does he look at? Faithfulness, right? Okay, so we talked about that last week, right? We talked about the fact that faithfulness is very important. But what we're going to do, because the writer of Proverbs says a faithful man shall do what? Abound with what? I want that to become instant in your mind and in your spirit. The faithful man shall do what? Abound what? With blessings. The faithful woman, what shall she do? Abound with blessing. How many faithful men I have here tonight? Good. You're going to abound with blessings. How many faith? And I like the young man back there. He's going to abound with blessings. How many faithful women I have here tonight? Then each and every one of you going to abound with blessings. But now there's something else, another component that I want to share with you tonight to go along with that faithfulness. Remember, we're talking about faithfulness being what? The blueprint for God's blessings and also God's promotions, right? How many of you want to be promoted by God? All right, good. How many of you are online for promotion? Let me look. I want to see the hands because some hands aren't up. Okay, good. After this message, I pray that you'll be in, you'll understand and you'll be in line for promotion, okay? Now, let's turn in our Bibles. We're in Proverbs, right? Turn over to Proverbs, the 11th chapter. Proverbs, the 11th chapter. We're talking about faithfulness, the blueprint for God's blessings and promotion, right? Proverbs chapter 11, verse 3. Are you there? We didn't have to go that far, right? So we know where Proverbs 11, 3 is, right? Is everyone there? Now, I'm going to read from the King James Version. So read along with me. Ready? Let's read. The integrity of the upright shall guide them, but the perverseness of transgressors shall what? Destroy them. We're going to focus on the first part of that. It says what? The integrity of who? The integrity of who? Who's the upright? Us, right? Not the uptight. We're the upright. Right? The integrity of the upright shall do what? Shall guide them. Now turn over to Proverbs chapter 20. Proverbs chapter 20. Look at verse 7. 11:3 says the integrity of the upright shall guide them, right? Now look at Proverbs chapter 20. Look at verse 7. Okay? Are you there? Proverbs chapter 20, verse 7. Are you there? Let's read this together. The just man walketh in what? In his integrity, and his children are blessed after him. Now, we can say it this way, too. The just woman walks in what? In her integrity, and her children are blessed after her, okay? Now, do you see the connection? The next thing, the next component is what? Integrity. Faithfulness is good. Faithfulness is what we're going for. But to couple with that faithfulness, we're going to have some what? Integrity. Now, let me give you a definition of integrity, okay? This is from dictionary.com, okay? It says, the quality of being honest and having strong moral principles, moral uprightness, honor, good character, decency, truthfulness, trustworthy. Did you hear yourself in there? You heard yourself in there? How many of you heard some things that, hey, I'm not just there yet? Okay, but let me go over that again. The quality of being honest. See, integrity deals with being honest. Okay? Having strong moral principles. Now, that's dictionary.com. But I'm here to tell you as believers, our integrity needs to come from the Word of God. Once you fill yourself full with the Word of God, that's why it's so important to feed on the Word every day. And the good place to start is always in the book of Proverbs. Okay? But our integrity is going to come from what? The Word of God. Okay? Now let's keep on going. Another definition he said. He said uprightness, right? Honor. Good character. How many of you have good character? How many of you got somebody that can vouch for you and say, man, your character is good? Okay, good. I'm talking to the right crowd then. We're going to have to lay hands on them, which we won't do that anyway. But here's my definition. Here's Elder Bill's definition of integrity. You ready for it? Integrity is this: what you do when no one is watching. Let me say it again. Integrity is what you do when nobody's watching. And especially today, they got all these cameras all over the place. But here's the key. If we're walking in our integrity, we ain't got to be concerned about what's on camera. I remember one time I had a person from this church years ago. They came up to me and said, you know what? I saw you downtown, Midtown Manhattan. You were reading your Bible. She's right. I probably was. I don't remember the time. But what if she would have ran up to me and said, I saw you come out of a hustler's bar. You know, I saw you coming out of there, you know. So, you know, integrity, right? What you do when nobody's watching. Now, let's look at a person. I want to show you a person in the Bible that walked in integrity. He wasn't perfect, but he walked in his integrity. Turn over to the book of Job. The book of Job. The most misunderstood, misquoted book that some, I don't go there. But let's look at Job. Ready? Are you at the book of Job? Okay, now, just for background and for time's sake, okay? For time's sake, we know the backdrop of Job, right? Job was born in Uz, the land of Uz. He was a contemporary during the time of Abraham, okay? And he had a family, he had all these things, and he was a good man. The Bible says he was a man who feared God, eschewed. I guess eschewed means he stood away from evil, right? Now, one day what happened was this. Satan came with the angels as they were presenting themselves before God, and God started to brag on Job, right? And look at what he says. Turn to Job chapter 1. Look what God said. Look at verse 6. We're going to read it from there. Now, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. The reason why he came among them, he was in Adam's place. Because remember, Adam fell. When he sinned, he gave up his spot. So Satan had it by what? Default. So that's why he was there coming with the angels, right? Now, the sons of God. And the Lord said unto Satan, whence cometh thou? And Satan answered the Lord. He said, going to and fro the earth and walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man? The integrity of what? The upright? So in other words, we can see here that Job had what? Integrity. One that feared God and eschewed evil, right? Verse 9, then Satan answered the Lord and said, doth Job fear you for naught? Hast not thou made a hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. Do you hear what Satan is saying? Do you hear what Satan is saying about Job? He said, man, there's a hedge around him, right? Not only him, around his house, around his family, and you bless the works of his hands. The integrity of the upright shall guide them, right? The faithful man shall do what? Abound with blessings, right? Now, Satan is saying this, right? But now listen to what he says. Satan says, but put forth thine hand now and touch all that he hath, right? And he shall curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, all that he has is in your power. Only upon himself put not forth thine hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. Now, if this was a play, that would be act one, right? In heaven. Job didn't see what was happening here, right? God was bragging on him. And Satan said, yeah, but if I can just touch him, if I can get past that hedge, and tear and get a hold of him, he's going to curse you to your face. And God said no. So Job did not know what was going on, right? So Job didn't know that was happening. So later on in the second chapter, we hear all this calamity. Fire fell, killed his family, killed his livestock, killed everybody, right? Everything's going bad for Job, right? It got so bad that his wife said this to him in verse 9, chapter 2, verse 9. Then said his wife unto him, dost thou still retain thy what? Integrity. Curse God and do what? And die. Well, what a helpmeet, right? Things are going bad. Everything's crumbling. Kids are killed. Business is gone. Animals are dead. The only one that was left was the wife, right? And then, I mean, if I was Job, I'd have said, Lord, you know. But anyway, she said, what, Kurt? She said, are you holding? Now, notice, she knew something about her husband. Her husband had what? Integrity. So she said, curse God and die. Did Job curse God and die? No, he said something. He made a statement. Now, listen to me. Job made a statement. The Bible records the statement, but the statement is not a statement of truth. Does everyone understand that? Because ignorant preachers go around saying this, the Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away, blessed be the name of the Lord. Job did not know what was happening in chapter 1. He didn't know it. So to him, when things happened, the Lord gave. When things didn't happen, the Lord took away. That was his rationale. But the Bible says this, in all of this, he did not sin nor charge God foolishly. But I got news for you. You and I, we will never, you better not ever in your life say the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. What you better say is John 10:10. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus said, but I have come that you might have life and have it what? More abundantly. Now that's what we're going to be saying, not Job. Job got away with it, right? So here it is, we see Job holding to his integrity, right? And he's holding fast. In other words, he's staying steady during unstable times, right? Everything's all unstable. Now, move further in this story, because I want to focus in on not Job, but his integrity. Turn to Job chapter 27. I mean, it's a fascinating study, the whole book of Job, but we don't have time to get into it tonight. Now, listen to what Job says in the 27th chapter, verse 5. He said, God forbid that I should justify you till I die. I will not remove my integrity from me. Because at that time, remember, he had his three buddies coming, supposed to be encouraging him, and they were just as bad as everybody else. I call them the Three Stooges. This would be Job's comforters, but they were Job's afflictors, right? Now, look at another area, Job chapter 31. Job is talking about holding to his integrity, right? Now, chapter 31, look at verse 6. Job is saying this. He says, let me be weighed in an even balance that God may know my integrity. So even through everything that was happening to him, he held fast to his integrity. Church, I'm here to tell you tonight, you hold fast to the promises and provisions of God. God has promised us that he would bless us. So I don't care what happens to you, what happens to your property, what happens to those things around you, you hold fast to your integrity. You hold fast. You don't waver. No wavering, no caving in. The doctor's report don't sound too good. You hold fast to your integrity. He had sores and boils all over his body. He had to scrape them off. He was in misery, right? But now here's what I want you to see. Because Job held fast to his integrity, look at chapter 42 of Job. Now I'm really running through Job, and I'm not giving it the full justice that it deserves, but I just want to focus in on Job's integrity, right? So we know that Job, the Bible says after he prayed, right, for his friends, he prayed for those three stooges, right? The Bible says God did what? Reversed his captivity, right? Now listen to what it says, verse 12. So the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning. Did you hear that? God blessed him how? More than before, than his latter, more than his beginning, right? He had 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camels, 1,000 yoke of oxen, 1,000 she donkeys, and he had also 7 sons and 3 daughters. Isn't that something? And the Bible says this, verse 16, after this, Job lived 140 years and saw his sons and his sons' sons even 4 generations. Do you know how long it took Job with all that affliction? You know how long that affliction was? Bible scholars said this, that affliction that Job encountered was 9 months. 9 months. Ladies, you know what that means, right? Some of you carried for 9 months, right? But after the baby's born, you forgot all about it, right? It's joy now, right? So Job really didn't suffer much, but he kept what? His integrity. Amen? Say this. Say, I will keep my integrity. My integrity will be based on the word of God. Okay, so now let's look at another area that we need to look at, okay? Turn in your Bibles to Isaiah. Isaiah, the first chapter. Isaiah, the first chapter. We're talking about faithfulness, the blueprint for God's blessings and promotion. Would you think, didn't Job get promoted? He got increased, right? Because he held fast with his integrity, right? Isaiah chapter 1, verse 19. Are you there? I'm not there yet, so just bear with me. Okay, Isaiah chapter 1, verse 19. This is the Lord speaking through the prophet Isaiah. Are you there? Let's read it. He says, if ye be what? Willing and what? Obedient, ye shall do what? Eat the good of the land. Let's say that one more time. If you be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. Now, that's another important thing. We talked about integrity. Also, what we want to talk about is what? Obedience. So if we are obedient, now I know the willing part's there too, but I want to focus in on the obedient. If we are obedient, we can expect to do what? Eat what? The good of the land. How many of you eating good of the land right now? How many of you are not eating the good of the land just yet? Don't raise your hand. But here's what we're going to do. And let's face it, all of us, myself included, your elder included, I desire to eat the good of the land. And right now, what I'm eating, I'm giving God thanks for. But I'm always looking for what? Better. All right, everyone got that? But if you're willing and obedient, now obedience. Now here's the definition for obedience. I know we all know what it means, but I just want to read the definition. Obedience means compliance with an order. So when you comply with an order, you're being what? Obedient. A request. Someone requests something of you, you are going to follow that request. Why? Because you are what? Obedient. Or the law. Now we all obey the law, right? We want to obey the law because if you don't obey the law, what happens? You go to jail, right? You get a popo, right? You go to jail, you get the tickets and all that other stuff, right? Now, what I want to do is this. He says, here's another definition. Law or submission to another's authority. We obey the law or submission to another's authority. Everyone understand that? Now, this is where a lot of us get in trouble. When we hear that word submit, right? Submit to us, especially Americans. Americans hate to submit because they think of it as in a wrestling match, right? Or the UFC or whatever, those ultimate fighting guys. They put you in a submission hold and you got to tap out, right? So we equate submission to that, but really that's not what submission is. Submission, if you break down the word, S-U-B is what? Sub. What does sub mean for us? Something under, right? So submission, under what? A mission. So in other words, for you and I to be in submission to Christ, we are under whose mission? God's mission, not our own, right? Now, let's look at a person. Turn to Genesis chapter 22, because I want you to look at, and I know I'm giving you these characters real quick, but I want you to see how God used each and every one of them in certain areas. Remember we talked about Abraham being faithful, Abraham? But now we're going to see how Abraham demonstrated obedience, okay? Now, let's Genesis chapter 22. We're going to read several verses of scripture, okay? We're going to read verses 1 to 12. Are you ready? Okay, let's read. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, behold, here I am. And he said, take now thy son, thy only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, you hear what God is telling them? And get thee into the land of Moriah and offer him there for what? A burnt offering, one of the mountains, which I will tell you thee of. In other words, God didn't even tell Abraham which mountain he was going to offer him up on. But he said, take your son, your only son. Now he had the other son, but this was the son of promise. God is saying, take that son of promise. And notice he said, the one whom you love. And offer him up as a sacrifice on a mountain I'm going to tell you about. Now, how many of you are going to look at you, look at Junior and say, all right, yeah, I'm ready to go. Now, everybody want to what, wait until they're going to wait on this one, right? Especially as Christians, we like to wait on things. Like, you know, wait till we're led, right? I heard a preacher say this. He said, for those who want to be led by the Spirit, he said, go to a sporting goods store, go to the area where the fishing area is, get those little lead weights, put them in your pocket, and just feel those every time if you want to be led. Feel led. But Abraham did what? Let's keep on reading what happened, right? Verse 3. And Abraham did what? He rose up early in the morning. Did you see that? He didn't wait till mid-afternoon. He didn't sleep in late and then woke up. He got up early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went unto the place which God had told them. Now look at this. He took these people, right? Look at verse 4. Then on how many days? The third day. Don't you think during that time, God is telling you to go somewhere, and it's 72 hours. He's riding with his only son, two of his servants, and they go into a place. Don't you think the devil was talking to him, trying to talk him out of it? How many of you, that happened to us, God has told you to do something, and you know the devil's trying to talk you out of it. He's trying to tell you, well, you know, if you do this, you know, if you do that. But here's what happened. 3 days, right? 3 days they're traveling, right? And on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, abide here with the donkeys. I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. Do you hear his faith? You hear the faith of faithful Abraham? After 3 days, he looked up, he saw the place. In other words, the Spirit of God told him, there it is. He told his servants, you stay here. Me and the boy are going to go and do what? Worship and what else? Come back. That's faith. That's faith. Okay, let's keep on going with this story, right? And Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and the lad and laid it upon Isaac, his son. And he took the fire in his hand and the knife, and they both of them went together, right? Now, listen to this. Isaac, I think Isaac was a young boy, right? He's about maybe a preteen, whatever. So this boy's looking, and the boy's speaking to the father, Abraham. He says, my father. He said, here I am, your son. He said, behold, the fire and the wood, but where's the lamb for the burnt offering? So in other words, what this tells me is Abraham consistently took his son with him, not only to go fishing, but he took him when he went to go offer up sacrifices. So the son knew the deal. He said, I see the fire, I see the wood. Where's the lamb for the offering? Now, what was Abraham's response? And Abraham said what? He said, my son, God will do what? Will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they both went together. And then they came to a place which God had told them of. Once again, obedience. And Abraham, right? And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in the order and bound Isaac, his son, and laid him on the altar of the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and he took the knife to slay his son. Verse 11, and the angel of the Lord called to him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here I am. Now, I always like to think of it this way. Abraham's like this, getting ready to hit his son, right? Getting ready to stab down like this. And the angel says, Abraham, Abraham. Some of us would have said, what? No, he didn't do that, right? What did he do? Abraham said, what, right? Now, listen to what happened, right? And he said, lay not thine hand on the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing that thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. Do you hear what God said? God said, now I see. See, Abraham's obedience had to play itself out. He was obedient all the way to that point and even beyond, but God had to intervene. So God looks at obedience. Now, let's continue in this. Look what happened here. Verse 13. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and look. Behind him was what? A ram where? In the thicket. Now, by his horns. Now, here's something interesting. I never thought about this before. Maybe you're smarter than me. You already knew this, but I never knew this before. When he was before he got on the mountain, he said the Lord's going to provide what? Himself what? A lamb. You hear that? A lamb. What was in the bush? A ram. You know why the ram was in the bush? Because that's where rams run. Here's what I want to share with you. Here's the Spirit of God quickened to me. He said, whatever provision you have need of, when he moves you to that next level, whatever's there, he will provide. The lamb was on the land. The ram was up in the bush, in the mountain. Do you see that? So when we're obedient, God only wants to see your obedience. Some of you, all he wants to see is your obedience. He's already made the provision for you where you got to go. Now, it may not be up in a mountain. It may be to a place that he's sending you to. But when he sends you to that place, know for a certainty that God has made provision for you there. Remember, Apostle Mike Key said that. He said he only had, a few bucks and one-way ticket to Manila, Philippines, right? But what happened when he got there? The rams. God provided his rams. So God makes provision for you. He makes provision for everyone who's obedient. Amen. You got that? Do you see how important obedience is? Now, here's something that I want to share with you. Everybody thinks about this and says, wow, that's great. I want to be obedient. You know, if obedience was easy, everybody would be doing it. Would you agree? Now turn to Psalms, the 15th Psalm, Psalm 15. You know, I've come across this, and let's face it, all of us can make a decision, myself included. I can make a decision. I'm going to be obedient, God, whatever, right? But then as time marches on, you realize you kind of let it slip, right? But see, there's something about when we are obedient to God, obedient to his word, obedient to what he wants, that look what happens. Look at verse 4, Psalm 15. This is David, right? He says this. He says, in whose eyes a vile person is condemned, contempt, but he honoreth them that fear the Lord, he that sweareth to his own hurt and changeth not. Let me say it again. In other words, what David is saying, God honors a person who will what? Swear to his own hurt. In other words, if you promise you're going to do something, and then day comes to deliver, and it's going to be painful, but you do it anyway because why? You want to keep your word. It's so important that we learn to keep our word, okay? It's important that we, and that's part of obedience, right? Now, here's what I want you to see. Not only was a person like Abraham obedient, look at Romans. Turn to Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15, the Apostle Paul makes a declaration. I'll just say it that way. He makes a declaration, and listen to what it's laced in, okay? Romans chapter 15, verse 19. Are you there? Now, listen to what he says here. I'm going to move up to verse 18, verse 17. He says, for I have therefore whereof I may glory through Jesus Christ in those things which pertain to God. For I will not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ hath not wrought by me to make the Gentiles obedient to my word indeed. You hear what he's saying? Now look at verse 19. Through mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and round about unto Illyricum, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. What Paul is saying, he's summing up his ministry. He said from Jerusalem, that's where he started out, right? And all the way around to Illyricum, he had fully preached the gospel. In other words, Paul was obedient to the calling. Amen? And that's what happens sometimes with some of us. God calls us, but we don't remain faithful or obedient to the calling. Amen? Now, here's another one I want you to look at, and this is the ultimate act of obedience. Turn to the book of Philippians. Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. And let's pick up at verse 5. Paul says this, the Apostle Paul speaking. He says this. He says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of what? No reputation, took upon himself what? The form of a servant, and was made how? In the likeness of men. Verse 8, and being found in fashion as a man, what did he do? He humbled himself and became what? Obedient. Jesus had to do what? Humble himself and become what? Obedient. So guess what you and I are going to have to do if we want God's blessings and promotions? We're going to have to humble ourselves and become what? Obedient. Now, we don't have to go as far as Jesus did. And thank God, praise God, we don't have to. He did it all for us. Amen? He was humbled. He became obedient unto death. Even what? The death of the cross. Do you understand this? I want to just camp here for a moment. Christianity, and sometimes us Christians, we fail to realize that Jesus, who was deity, the Son of God, took his deity, divested it, laid it to the side, came to earth, took on humanity. Then, when he was 30 years old, had to be anointed by God with the same spirit that's in us. And he went for 3.5 years walking with some 12 guys that, you know, was one day in, one day out, one day up, one day down. But what happened was he was obedient to where? To the cross, even to death on the cross. You know, and that's something that we sometimes don't take, we don't fully understand. You don't fully understand the magnitude of what he was going to do. Jesus did this because he was obedient to who? To the Father. Jesus did this because he was obedient not only to the Father, but because he loved you and I. Paul said it this way, while we were yet sinners, Christ did what? Die for us, right? Now, let's keep on going with this, right? He became obedient even to death on the cross. Verse 9, wherefore God had did what? Highly exalted him. And what else? Given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth, right? And that every tongue should confess what? That Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. So in other words, Jesus gave himself as a ransom for not only you and I, but for all humanity, right? God highly exalted him. And it all came about because of what? His obedience. Now, for tonight, let's put this all together, okay? If we remain faithful, now listen to this. If we remain faithful and walk in our integrity, which is what? Based on the word of God, right? And we remain obedient to God and his word, we are guaranteed God's blessings and God's promotion. Do you hear that? So I want you to say this with me. Say, Father, as I remain faithful to this calling, as I walk in my integrity, which is based on your word, and as I remain obedient to your will and your word, I am guaranteed God's blessings, God's promotion. Now, what I want to close with is saying this to you. Tonight, make a decision. See, here's what I want you to always do whenever you come away from one of these schools of the Bible. The word has been shared. You have a decision to make. Decision is this. For those who don't know Jesus Christ, the decision is to accept Jesus Christ. But I'm looking in this room, and I see everybody here, and I know everybody here, and each and every one of us made a decision for Christ. Amen? Now that you made a decision for Christ, we have to make a decision. We have to make a decision to start becoming faithful. And the first place to start is with yourself. Become faithful. If you're married, become faithful to your spouse. If you have children, a family, be faithful to those children. If you are a child and you have your parents are still alive, be faithful, honor your parents. This church, be faithful. This is your church. This is nobody, and I got news for you. I'm going to say this. I'm not going to allow anybody to walk in here. I don't care what name, title they have, whatever. Those days are over. That stuff in the past ain't happening no more. This is our house. And when you're in my house, or this is our house, we need to take care of our house. You know, we don't need the help. You hear what I'm saying? This is our house. There's needs that need to be done in our house. Let's be found faithful doing those things in our house. Amen? Now, what I want to share is this also. We want to be obedient. Whatever God tells you to do. See, here's what happened. The Holy Spirit is speaking to some of you about certain things in your life personally. I know this by the Spirit. Some of you he's speaking to about ministry. Some of you he's speaking to about your diet. Some of you he's speaking to about your job decisions. Some of you speaking to you about your education. Whatever he tells you to do, be obedient, okay? Be obedient. Don't try to figure it all out. Here's what happens with us. God tells you to do something, and a minute, and right then and there, you try to figure it out with your little pea brain and your meager means. God is bigger than your 401k. God is bigger than your pension. God is bigger than your check account. God is bigger than anything you can even imagine. But what he needs you to do is be faithful, walk in integrity, and be obedient. Everyone got that? Because if we do that, then we are guaranteed what? God's blessings. God wants to bless all of us. Now listen, God in heaven is not like Washington. See, Washington, they got only so much in the budget, and they're only so much they're going to give, and if you cry and whine enough, you'll get something. But that's not the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is plenty. God has plenty in store for each and every one of us. But here's what happens. We disqualify ourselves from the blessings. We disqualify ourselves from the promotion. God is not going to do it. So I'm here to encourage you tonight. Be obedient. Listen to what he's telling you to do. And I got news for you. Some of you, your promotion's on the way. Do you hear what I'm saying? Your promotion is on the way.